do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. As usual, thank you for the continued support of the show. Now, I do have a little favor to ask from you, if you haven't done so. If you can find a way to go on to Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave a review, hit the subscribe button, go on Spotify, hit that follow button. If you're just on IG, then just please, you know, like the post, reshare what you can, tell somebody about this. Anything that will help me kind of expand the show, you know, if it's something that you're enjoying, as I mentioned before, it'll be great for other people to be able to find the show and just do what you do, you know, just share and just show me some support. Deeply appreciated. But now that I asked you and I begged you here, let's move on to the show. Today's guest is Eric Etzley. He is the founder of Olivia Open Mic. And today he's going to be joining me to help bring a little bit more light into what the topic of cryptocurrency is. If you guys have been following him on Instagram for the last couple of months, you might have seen at this point how he tries to share information. Then you might have been intrigued by what he's been pushing. And like I mentioned on this podcast, that was something that I found interest in. You know, it was something that I was looking at, just reading his posts, not knowing what it was exactly. And it wasn't until I made the leap on my own and, you know, started researching. Again, that is key, you know, researching, trying to see what it is that's being pushed on you and ultimately making a decision on your own. So I did it. And now I'm part of the Hoge train. Hoge all the way, Hoge to the moon. Sorry, I just had to say it. But the idea is cryptocurrency. It's a brand new market that over the last decade has just been steadily growing. And of course, it has its opposition. You know, there's these major financial systems that are trying to help regulate and just, in a sense, control the flow of it. And the good part about cryptocurrency is that it's, for the most part, it's decentralized. So there's no, you know, figure above everybody else that's kind of overlooking. Now, of course, that might change with whatever coins you're talking about, but the idea, the essence is to remove yourself from these entities, right? So I hope you guys are interested enough to go ahead and check out his course. He's actually having a summer course. I believe at this point he might have been already fully booked, but if he hasn't, just, you know, reach out to him, see what's in store for the next couple of months. Yeah, you know, again, something that's going to help you educate yourself. Just keep in mind, there's a whole lot of volatility in all this, and it's easy for you to be feeling good at one moment and the next moment to be in major depression because your prices are going low, you're losing money. But as Eric has mentioned, it's about the conviction that you have for yourself and for what you're trying to accomplish. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. I hope it does interest you. And lastly, none of us are financial advisors. So if you decide to make these moves on your own, do it at your own discretion. Do it with your own risks. Please don't come sue me or sue Eric, because, you know, we ain't going to pay you. We ain't going to pay you. Just kidding. We'll probably just, like, send you some Hoge coins. But the fact is, again, educate ourselves. If it's something for you, go for it. If it's not, then, hey, I can't change your mind. And nonetheless, as usual, today's music is brought to you by Izzy Outer Space with her song Amazon, which you can find on YouTube, you can listen on Spotify, you can listen on iTunes. So go check it out, go show your support, go show your, you know, you're willing to try new music, because that's what it is. You know, how many times can you listen to the same song before you're like, holy shit, I gotta change it up a little bit. But this is one of those songs. This is something that you're going to listen to. You kind of be taken aback because it's not the music that you're normally listening to. But again, it's those little gems that you find. And when you find them, you got to share them. So go show your support. Go hit that follow button. And remember, as always, support your local artists. Support your local music. And let's all rise together, baby. what's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Planet Podcast. Today, making this great return, we have Eric Etzley, founder of Alivio Open Mic. What's up, man?
What's up, Eddie? Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back on this awesome local Social Primates podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thank you. First of all, I just got to say, people are not going to see this video, but I'm loving that Hoge shirt you got. I know I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah, Hoge with an H. So people are like, what, Doge? I'm like, no, we said Hoge.
Yeah, I heard Hoagie, and I was like, no, it's Hoge.
Isn't that like a type of food in, I don't know what, like in Germany? Something.
It's like
know.
Some sandwich or something.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to bring you in here, man, is because over the last couple of months, you know, I've seen you on Instagram educating people on cryptocurrency, kind of like what it's about. And you've kind of like added this feel of interest to a lot of people. And I was one of those, because when I first started seeing you post about it, I was like, what is this guy posting? Like, and then it was back to back, and I'm like, oh my God, okay, either this is something I gotta look into, or what am I missing, you know, FOMO, what am I missing out on? And as soon as I started looking into it, I started like figuring out a little bit more on my own, and eventually you, I think probably like a month ago at this point, you had like this course to kind of show people how to purchase it if they wanted to do it. And since then, I've just been buying, you know, slowly in small increments, but I've been doing my part of my investment.
Awesome, man. Yeah, the course, not the course, but like the crash course, I guess I did like 2 months ago, was about Hoge in specific, how to buy it, because it still was at the time not very widely available. So it requires like a big learning curve on how to, you know, get Hoge in your hands, right? Or in your metaphorical digital hands, right? I started really using my social media a few months ago to talk about crypto, because most of my friends don't have crypto. Seeing this market that's only 13 years old, bro. The stock market is like I want to say 200 years old. That's been in existence for a long time, but the crypto market has only been around for 13 years. And throughout the years, all of the market cap for all cryptos is only growing. At one point, it was a few million, and then it was a few billion. And then it became a trillion. So if more of us younger folks, millennials and Gen Z, are not in the space, right, we're missing out.
Yeah, right. And that's the one thing. Like, I remember when Bitcoin started coming out, and I think that was what, like 2013 or something, right? 2000.
It first came out in 2009, but like nobody knew about it. And then it started gaining popularity like I want to say 2011, 12, 13, like around those years is when like the news probably started covering more.
Yeah.
During that crazy bull run. Yeah.
And it's funny, cause I specifically remember that I was like, I was reading into it, and I was like, what's Bitcoin? And I was so interested in learning how to purchase it, but the way to go about it was so difficult. Like, you had to go through like a VPN. You had to go through like this external browser like a Thor or something, and do all these things just to kind of purchase the coin. But at that point, it was at cents, yeah. I believe, you know. And you know, if for the people who really found a way to get through it, dude, you know, right now they're way above they passed the moon already.
Dude, yeah, no, that's how exactly, right? And like, it was difficult to obtain in those early years. But we just needed wide adoption, and look at what's happened now, right? Like, Bitcoin in its infancy was a few pennies. Then it became a few bucks, and now it's like, you know what, right now it's like 37,000, I want to say. But like, right, like, so the people that believed in it, that did their research, that had conviction in the asset, and those people that bought it and just held it, those people are, you know, they never have to work a day in their lives ever again.
I know. And it's for somebody like, you know, going back to what I mentioned earlier about my friend, that one day he came out to me and he's like, because I recently started pushing a little bit on Hoge. Yeah. But the point is, he told me, like, hey, man, like, you've been pushing this a little too much. Like, don't you think this is kind of like a cult or like a, what was the other thing he said? It's a pyramid scheme. But I think that goes along
with crypto too. Is he in crypto?
He started going on to like Dogecoin, like the mainstream, air quote, mainstream one.
Yeah.
And everything else that's like, I mean, everything is an altcoin, you know, because Bitcoin's the original one. Yeah. But all the altcoins, they think it's more like they're just schemes to, you know, make a quick.
Yeah. Buck. It's funny because like Bitcoin for years, and there's still people that call it a scheme, call it a scam. Even now, there are still some older folks that just haven't like changed their tune, and they're very hard set in their ways, and they still think it's a scam. But it's not that Hoge is like a cult, it's just that it's cultural, and I feel like it has cultural relevance, because this sounds funny to say, but memes are more valuable than they've ever been. Not just, you know, memes have been around for a while. Like, I feel like millennials, us, like, we really gravitated towards memes. We're like the generation that really started using them to express ourselves in like sports and politics and culture. But now memes are actually valuable. Like, they're actually being sold as non-fungible tokens, like with crypto, right? They're being sold at a dollar value and people are buying them. So like, not just metaphorically valuable in a cultural sense, but they're actually valuable in a monetary sense. So like, Hoge is obviously a meme coin, and people make their memes around it. People make art about it, music about it. And a lot of these folks, they're having fun doing it. So it's catchy. It catches on. A lot of the crypto spaces can be pretty serious. It's like very tech driven. And sometimes you get kind of like lost in that. Most people are like lost in that. And like, if you're not like a code or a coder or a programmer, you know, you could be very lost. And it's like, oh, this kind of just seems boring. But once you like get like maybe like a meme token, right? Like Hoge, it makes sense. It's fun. It's about community. It's about art. It's about music. It's about charity. So I could see why that has more of a mass appeal. And we've seen that with like Doge, right, this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, especially with that, you know, people being, I mean, the main person tweeting about this is Elon Musk. You know, every couple of days he makes a reference to Dogecoin or to the moon or something.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, I don't have too much knowledge in it. So I would say that some of the stuff he says, it does make people do certain acts. You know, they'll act certain ways, like, okay, is he talking negative? Is he, and people are going to sell, right? That's where that reference paper hands and diamond hands. You know, the paper hands being the ones who sell out of fear, right? Like the market's dropping, and diamond hands is holding on to that.
Yeah. Diamond hands is like the people that have conviction no matter what, like external voices say, like they don't give in to like the fear, the anxiety of people around them, and they stay true to their convictions. And paper hands are easily swayed by external voices and media. Yeah. And they're more likely to sell at a loss. Yeah.
I think a few weeks ago, I think at some point Bitcoin was like at 55,000 or something.
It was like at 65. Damn, that was brutal. Yeah.
And that big ass drop, you know, immediately people were like, holy shit, like what's going on? And
It's crazy, right? That's what I'm going to go over in the course for. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this 6-week crypto course for newbies. And that's one part of the course that I'm really going to touch on, is the volatility to be expected in crypto. Mm-hmm. What happens in crypto in one day happens in the stock market in like 3 to 5 years. Like, like it's crazy, right? Like you can have some incredible swings up and down in a day. The stock market moves up 2% and they call it amazing. Oh my God. You know, right? Like, so it's just, if you're not used to that volatility, you are very likely to be scared and make bad choices and exit the market completely and never come back. And you might say, oh, it's a scam. I invested $100 on this coin, and it went down to, you know, 70 like in a day. And those people that are not used to that are very likely to sell at a loss and like never invest in crypto. So mm-hmm. it's about knowledge and education and knowing like, hey, this is the territory that we're investing in. This just comes with that world, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy, like you said, it's easy to be swayed by people because, you know, I went to YouTube a few days ago and just to look up videos, trying to just kind of keep up to date what's going on. Right. And you see a bunch of videos like this, you know, there's other coins like SafeMoon, you know, like predictions the Shibu one. And it's like all this stuff. And there's just so much information that like the pure information gets lost, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to really know where you stand with things.
Yeah, it's especially right now since we're still in a bull run and like, you know, we're in this upward trajectory. Yeah, Bitcoin did a flash crash. And during that week, 2 weeks, there is hardcore bad news after bad news. So a lot of people are feeling anxious. And when people are feeling anxious and scared and they give into news and fear, uncertainty and doubt, they're more likely to sell. So that creates selling pressure. So that doesn't help. And it just was compiled upon like all these other things that were happening in the market. So if you go to YouTube, right? And then like, you're like, during the bull run of stock markets and crypto, if you go to YouTube, there's always going to be like hundreds of YouTubers telling you, this is going to go to the moon and this and this and this and this. But then when things get bad, like a lot of those YouTubers stop making content because they ran out of things to say that are going to go to the moon, right? So it's about like, and when things get bad, you have to stick to your convictions, to what are you investing in and why. Like for Hoge, for instance, yes, it's a meme coin and you know, a meme token, and a lot of people are like, oh, meme coins are bad for the market. But you know, Doge is the first ever decentralized finance meme coin. So just by holding it, you are earning passive coins every day. So in a way, it's kind of like the welcome mat to generations of people have never heard of DeFi to like own something that is passively earning you coins and is also at the same time burning coins out of supply. So once somebody kind of holds this asset and now they have this introduction in a meme coin, they can go dabble into other types of DeFi platforms, right? Like, so I see like Hoge as a welcome mat, welcome to this world of decentralized finance. Welcome to this world that is giving you more money than your bank passively just for holding it. On the other hand, there are a lot of scams in crypto, especially during the bull run. A lot of scams. There's a lot of people that develop like quickly these like new tokens or coins. And if you're not careful, you could get scammed. So it's important for new people to always look at like the wallet distribution between the coins you want to invest in. So for example, in Doge, and this is not hating on Doge. A lot of my friends have Doge. Even my wife has Doge. I want Doge to succeed. But the fact is if you go to the wallet distribution of Doge, it's heavily centralized. And like the top, there's one wallet that owns like over 20% of supply. That's very bad. That's very, very dangerous. Because whenever that person, he or she decides to like, I finally want to sell, that thing will massively crash the price, creating fear, anxiety, creating selling pressure. And it could obliterate that coin. But what I like about Hoge is that if you go to the public addresses, you see that there is not one single holder that has more than 2% of all supply. So that makes me feel good because a lot of these little coins that come out, if you pay attention and you look at wallet distribution, you can see in the top 10 wallets, wait, who's getting like 8% of the supply? Wait, who has 4%? And then you do the math, wait, the top 20 wallets have like 30% of the all supply. That's dangerous. And that's when you can have, what is it called? Rug pulls. So let's say one of these top wallets are like, I want to sell now. And then the next wallet sells, it creates a rug pull where all the holders that are the little men and the little ladies, you get the rug pulled out from you, and the big, big wallet holders say bye-bye. That's
And I think that's why people are easily to say, oh, it's a pyramid scheme. You know, everybody's putting a little bit of money. But like you said, it's like about learning how to go into, I mean, I know it's hard because, again, for me personally, I've been to those websites and sometimes they're overwhelming. There's like so much numbers and data's going through. Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm just going to scroll down and see what's going on at the bottom. And, you know, again, it's that overwhelming feeling that if you don't really understand, it's easy for you to give in to what you're hearing. You know, like you see these YouTube videos or people pushing other coins. I'm not saying they're not valid, but I'm just saying in the off chance that they're pushing something that doesn't have that same, you know, idea that you're trying to, like the coin, right? Like a meme coin. Let's just say Hoge, because Hoge is the one here. But, you know, to me, Hoge, I saw it. I got involved with it. I saw the community. I went to the Telegram, the Twitter, Fireplaces, or I forgot what they're called, Fire or something.
Fireside chats or something.
Fireside like chats. Yeah. And, you know, and I you see what the community is about and you see the people in there and you see how it's all inclusive. Like I've heard different types of voices so far. I mean, sometimes people bag on each other, but for the most part, everybody's like cool. You know, nobody disrespects anybody and they legit have like this pure intent with it. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, dude. And I think right now, Hoge, honestly, and this is not because I love it and I have it, but I feel like it is the most undervalued, overseen meme token right now because it has Certik audit. It was audited by this foundation, the Certik Foundation, and it received an A. Like in ranking, like it scored higher than some of the other cryptos that are in the top like 20 to 30 ranking in CoinMarketCap. So Hoge is like a legit project. And it also has a legal entity. It has like lawyers, they have a legal team, right? It's not just like random people. It is a lot of random people that are creating the content, like random regular working class people. But when it comes to like the people that are really doing the legal work, like there's actually like a legal entity behind Hoge. There's actually like developers that have like incredible skills in tech and marketing and finance in Hoge. And that's what makes me so like excited about its future. So I'm happy to be in Hoge for the long term.
That's why, again, I want to reiterate, like, I'm for Hoge, and not everybody has to be if they don't want to, but it's for sure a project that I've seen those intentions that are really well meant, like, and there's, I mean, what else could you want, you know? You want something to succeed, and if you want something to succeed, you're going to put passion into it, and that's what it seems like a lot of people are doing.
Exactly, dude. We are like the development team is very transparent. Like people can go on the Telegram or they do ask me anything sessions, AMAs, and like they're so transparent and upfront with the community, right? And what is awesome about Hoge, from what I've seen also, we are the first decentralized finance meme token that is a decentralized autonomous organization. So if anytime you look at the structure of a corporation, it's like a pyramid structure, like the CEO's at top, right? And then you have all the little workers all the way at the bottom. But Hoge is trying to, you know, get this decentralized autonomous organization going where there is not one person that has absolute power. And everything is built off of consensus, like community voting, community agreement, right? What are we going to raise our next money for? Are we going to use it for this Hoge rave? Are we going to give it to charity of a local pet shelter? Are we going to partner with a children's foundation? Are we going to use it for marketing, which we haven't done that actually. So it's really cool because it's like this collective, right? It's like, it's not like one person calls a shot. It's very democratic in that sense. And what I really like about crypto is that it's, in its essence, it's all about decentralization. It's about removing the authority figure in our lives that is always the figure that we need to go to for permission. Mm-hmm. And crypto is about removing that. And Coach is doing that in its own structure, which makes me like, damn, like it just makes me see like in its, at its core, at its essence, like Coach is doing it all right. And honestly, right now, like the prices have gone down a lot for Coach and all of crypto, but I don't mind it because we get the weeds out. We get the people that just wanted a quick pump and dump, because this is not a pump and dump. We get those people that just wanted to make a quick buck out, like, oh, Hoja's not like that. So yeah, you can exit. Hoja's like, right, like people that are here, they're gonna stay here because we're already in the trenches. Like we're in the trenches, that we, right? So we'll stay here when things get nice and better.
Yeah, right. And everybody else is gonna feel like, fuck, I should have waited. Yeah, yeah. You know?
When the bear market comes. The bear market, right? If you're listening and you don't know what that is, the bear market is pretty much when, for an extended period of time, for months and possibly a year or two, we go into a downward trend for all prices of crypto. All of them kind of go downwards. Then we're going to see which one is a real meme coin, because right now there's been an explosion of meme coins over the last 5 months. And a lot of them have called themselves the new Hoge. So there's been this explosion of coins. And right now, while things are in a bull run, everybody's like happy, like making money very fast because things are going up. But once things get depressed, once things go into like a crypto cold winter, then we'll see what community is strong enough to survive. Yeah. And that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited for the next run. So like, I'm excited for when I can hold Hoge throughout that depression, and then the next run is going to be like, boom, like rocket. Yeah. That's how I'm seeing it.
No, man, that's what I hope so too. Cause again, technically it's in a project you're investing to, and it's a project you want to succeed, you know? So, yeah. You know, exactly. I want it to succeed, you know?
Yeah, dude. And everything has a risk. Everything can go to, it's good to always say that psychologically, to say it to yourself. It's like everything can always go to zero. It's good to say that to yourself. So when your assets go down, you don't freak out and panic. And really a lot of what you need is just patience and time. That's really like, those are your best friends in crypto, patience and time. I'm excited for like the future, right? So it's important to not over leverage yourself. Like if you're going to invest in very risky cryptos, all cryptos are risky, right? You saw what happened with Bitcoin, went down really fast. But it's important to never over leverage yourself. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in Hoge, please don't put your rent money on it. Don't put your grocery money on it, right? Because then you're very vulnerable to panic selling.
Yeah, exactly. And like the way I've kind of, in a sense, sold it right to my friends, it's like, or not my friends, but like in just general, like investing itself. It's like I started changing the ways that I spent some of my money, right? Like I started realizing like, okay, maybe I spend a little too much on food every now and then. So maybe I'll take two of those days and invest it into something, right? 20, yes. 40 bucks, invest it into, I don't know. I like to spread out like $20. I'll do five of something, right? You just kind of put a little bit into everything, but it's not money that I necessarily need. You know, it's money that I normally spend, but I'm just spending it on myself, on my future in a way.
Exactly. And
that's what makes it easier for me. You know, it doesn't feel like a drag.
No. Yeah. That's a really great example, because like eating out is a great example, because I mean, I've looked at my bank account, like on like when I go on little habits of like, oh damn, I ate out like five times this week. Like, and I look at my bank account, And I'm like, whoa, eating out is like expensive, right? So you, another thing is too, like you can put, like, let's say you get a paycheck and then you're like, oh, I already saved a little bit of money from this paycheck and I already have some money allocated for my bills. What we usually do is that we leave all the rest of it in our checking account and we kind of use it to like spend, right? Like go out, beers, bars, drinks, a lot of drinking, right? Like that's what I used to do a lot of, like, but right, going just going out anywhere and spending money. But now I've kind of rearranged the way, like what I do when I get my check is like I'll put some of it in savings and then I kind of plow a lot of it into investing. And what that does for me is that, oh crap, now I have a little bit that I can spend throughout on crap I don't really need throughout the month. So I already put a lot of it in like my basket that's gonna grow. And now I have less to eat out. That's kind of like what I do as well. So it kind of like forces me to like budget in a sense.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, it's like a, like you're just kind of lying to yourself too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I know. And what do you think about the people who say that cryptocurrency doesn't really have a future? Like in the sense that like it's not going to be not going to replace the system that we know now financially?
Yeah. Well, I feel like crypto has proven the whole world wrong over and over every year. There's people have been hoping all of crypto goes away, but I mean, we just saw Bitcoin hit 65,000 like a few weeks ago, right? So yeah. The fact that there are multi-billion dollar corporations buying Bitcoin should already tell you like this is not going away. Like it's not. There are very wealthy people now in the financial institution sectors buying cryptocurrency, buying Bitcoin, buying Ethereum. So they're barely starting now, like in 2020, 2021. So they just started. This means that all of us, all the little ladies, little guys that have been in crypto, we benefit from that because they got in after us. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to end here. Goldman Sachs just a year ago said Bitcoin is not an asset. It's not something anybody should invest in, right? They drag Bitcoin. And just this in May, Goldman Sachs said Bitcoin is a new asset class. Like what a 180 within a year. But why did Goldman Sachs do this? Because while they hate in public these institutions and media corporations, it's in their best interest to spread fear about crypto because they want to buy it cheaper. The more crypto, the more fear they can spread, the more newer investors sell their Bitcoin. And guess who's taking your Bitcoin? Goldman Sachs is taking your Bitcoin. So this in May, Goldman Sachs just said Bitcoin is a new asset class. Okay, what was Bitcoin that different a year ago? Why'd you change it to now? Why? Because Goldman Sachs' richest investors, they're saying, hey, I want to get some exposure to Bitcoin. Why aren't you guys letting me invest in Bitcoin? So now these financial institutions are being pressured by all their clients that are saying, hey, we want some of this pie right here. We're seeing the world celebrate these incredible gains. And these rich people are saying, we want a part of it. So they're barely getting in, bro. Like that big money is barely coming in. That's why I keep telling people on Instagram, people in the community, is like, just buy a little bit. Just, I'm not saying put like all your money in, but start putting some skin in the game, get some exposure, get a feeling for how it moves, and, you know, build up your tolerance to risk like that. And it's better than having money in the bank, dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is, you know, I noticed it. And it's funny because I didn't really see that example until I saw it that you were posting about it. And I was like, okay, let me I tried it out, right? Full disclosure, I don't know if this is the right term, but full disclosure, like, I mean, first of all, we're not even financial advisors. I mean, just everybody needs to know that.
Let's say that. This is not financial advice.
But, you know, I personally put like a certain amount of money into my account, right? And right now I'm in the reds, you know, for sure. You know, and at first I was crypto? Maybe. Yeah, for crypto. Yeah. So I'm still in the reds, you know?
A lot of us are.
So I'm like, at first, one of my friends, he was like, yeah, dude, I think I'm going to sell my stuff. I was like, no, don't do it, dude. And then when I had that crash like 2 weeks ago, I low-key was like, oh my God, I'm losing. And I really did think about it, like, maybe I should just sell half of it. But I kept thinking like, no, like, what are you doing? Like, initially when I told myself, again, it's that whole conviction thing. It's like, there's a reason why I did this, right? Again, it's not money that I need. So like, why am I panicking? Mm-hmm. You know, and I relaxed, you know, I calmed down, smoked a joint, and I was like, man, I'm gonna go to the moon, man.
You're like, hey, we're going higher. I'm pretty higher. We're all going higher eventually.
And it made me feel better, you know? And again, going into the community, once, you know, you're in the external, right? Like, I'm in my own. I'm not having these decisions about selling. But as soon as I step back into the community, Telegram, Twitter, you start hearing how people are just calm. Like, they're like, no, just, you know, they're just finding a way to make sure to let you know that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. And then- Yeah, dude. You know, I'm glad you opened up about that, because that is very common. And not a lot of people want to admit that, like, that fear, that real fear. Oh my God, I'm working hard to make this money. I put this money here, and now my money's disappearing. And it's very easy for most people to panic and then say, forget this. They'll sell and they'll lose money. But if they only give their asset a few more weeks, a few more months to fluctuate and grow, they would be back in the green. Like, it's happened over and over and over in crypto, with Ethereum, with Bitcoin, with Cardano, with like these really great cryptos that have had powerful crashes down 30%, 40%. Bitcoin just had a 55% drop. And if you sell Bitcoin at its lowest, you are basically telling yourself Bitcoin will never again pass 65,000. Like, that's what your action is telling yourself. But I think because people panic and they're not thinking logically, they're just thinking, I need to get something back. I need to get something. They're not thinking that rationally. They're not thinking, wait, if I sell, now I'm going to really lock in my failures. And if I hold, I am giving this asset room to grow and go up.
Yeah.
And still make profit. But like you said, it's about putting the money that you know you don't need. So a few months ago, a homie hit me up. He's like, hey, I kind of want to invest in crypto. I was like, oh, you do? Like, I'm glad you, because he was hesitant about it for a long time. And then he told me, yeah, but I'm going to need to take my money out within like 6 months. And I automatically told him, nah, dude, like straight up, I was like, don't even put it in, because you're already constricting yourself to a very short time frame. And if there is a crash, those cryptos need time to heal and to grow and to get better. But if you're like putting yourself in a 6 month time frame, you're already good. You might sell at a loss, because what if it's the fifth month and then your crypto goes down and then you're gonna sell everything at a loss? Like, you know. So I told him, like, don't even go in if it's 6 months, honestly. And that's another thing that I'm going to really drill into my course, is not being a short-term trader and having more of a passive long-term outlook on crypto.
Yeah.
It's the easiest on your mental health.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I agree with that one. But yeah, lately right now, I still purchase, you know, every couple of days, small amounts again, you know, but nothing too drastic that's going to make me, you know, one of like, fuck, I should have transferred $50 or something, whatever.
Yeah, I just did yesterday too. I only transferred $100 to my account. And yesterday I like was like, okay. And I looked at my all my cryptos. I'm like, which one of my cryptos is down the most? So that's kind of something else I do. like, which one is down the most in percentage? And I saw that yesterday was Ethereum. So I was like, I'm going to buy a little more Ethereum from this $100. And then which one's the one second down the most, right after Ethereum? So I bought like $15 of that one. So I try to do that. That's dollar cost averaging. And that's a really good way to bring your average cost down. So it's all like psychological, right? If you only look at price for your confidence, you're going to be literally bipolar in this market, because prices can go up and down. And one day you're like, yeah. And then now you're going to be depressed. But like, right, you shouldn't look at price for confidence. You should look at the technology. You should look at what it's trying to solve. You should look at the community. You should look at the potential. And price doesn't always follow that. I'm sorry, price doesn't always lead. Price oftentimes follows. So for Hoge, our community is way ahead of the price. Our fundamentals are way ahead of the price. Our structure, the way we are operating, is way ahead of the price. The price hasn't caught up to that. So we still need the price to catch on. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is we need more people to actually like learn what it is and learn how to buy it. And then we'll be set.
Dude, man. No, this is cool. And that's what I kind of want to help people with this conversation understand. Like, you know, there's people who still don't know what's going on. Like, and it's cool, because I was one of those people not so long ago.
Yeah.
You know, but I've,
when did you buy? Sorry, like March, April?
April, yeah, it was April. Like after a little bit after mid April.
Dang. So yeah, that's a brutal time, right, to start, because I was reading reports that most of the people that started selling their Bitcoin and other cryptos are people that have barely started investing in crypto within like a few months, because those are the people that are newest to the space. And those are the people that bought kind of high, and like, this is the first brutal crash that they've ever experienced. So a lot of those people were like, hell no, I'm selling. So analytically, it did show that a lot of the new wallets that were barely holding Bitcoin, they're the ones that sold the Bitcoin. And unfortunately, they're selling their Bitcoin to these rich hedge funds, to these financial institutions that want to have your Bitcoin. So that's also something to consider. Like, and be patient with yourself. If, like, you're a new investor in crypto and you got in like around March, April, like it was a brutal time to start, because now you're all most likely down. But just chill, right? Chill, dollar cost average over time, and it'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting, because now, like on Venmo, like whenever you open up the app and you check the menu, it says now that you can pay with some crypto. So you start seeing how like these little companies are learning how to embrace it, and that accessibility is only going to make it easier for people to want to start purchasing, and then it starts holding a lot more value. You know, in the real world.
The Venmo thing, that's brand new then, huh? That's only like a week or two old then.
That's recent. It's recent.
That's awesome. Yeah, Venmo has crypto capabilities, Cash App, PayPal now. So like all of these mobile wallet apps are bringing in the crypto world to them, because they know that there is a lot of demand for crypto, and probably if they put the crypto in their app, they might get like a little cut or a fee. So it's in their interest too, right? But it helps the whole space eventually.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's funny, you know, how like if you're really looking into the news, like sometimes on the apps, like on Coinbase, what is it? CoinMarketCap. Like you have articles, I think on Coinbase, it gives you like all these articles, and even Coinbase itself, it rewards you if you do like these little quizzes for different coins, like it rewards you with their currency. And I think it's awesome, because again, it's trying to educate you. You see that it's not just there to make money off of you. It's really trying to show you what services and what problems this can solve, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, Coinbase wants to give you some of these cryptos so you can get that skin in the game. Like, all of these apps have referral codes, so when you invite a new person, they already automatically have like $10 worth of Bitcoin, right? So it's all to get more adoption yeah. from people. And I think like the reason too why crypto is here to stay, bro, is because who's next after millennials? It's Gen Z. Like, they're more technologically advanced than us. Like, we, right? Like, I didn't have my smartphones didn't become a thing until I was like in, I want to say 11th, what, 12th grade. That's when like a fully functional smartphone, right? Like, took over the world. I was like in, I want to say this was like 2006, 2007. But like these kids now, bro, they were like born with smartphones. Like, hell yeah, right? Man. They came with out the of their mothers with a little smartphone. Like, they like these kids are technologically advanced. So they're the younger generation that they're not gonna look at this new digital currency and say, "Oh, I don't want this." Like, they're gonna adopt it even more than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way I like to see it is it's maybe not the best example, but like, you know, people who play mobile games, you know, sometimes when you're within those games, you have to purchase tokens that are only compatible with those games. So you're buying in-game currency, right? So it's technically a version of a token, you know, it's just not yeah. as, you know, it's not crypto, but the idea is the same. Like, you're already being used to the idea of having these extra tokens that are not dollars in a sense.
Yeah. So that's the interesting thing about all like this world of crypto is, a token is, from what I researched, a token is a crypto that exists on a blockchain, like Ethereum, right? Ethereum has its own blockchain technology, mm-hmm. and to trade on the Ethereum network, the currency is Ether, right? And for Bitcoin, it has its own blockchain, and the currency is Bitcoin. But if, like Host, for instance, it's a token built on the Ethereum blockchain. So there's no like new blockchain for Host. So that makes Host a token on the Ethereum network. And if you ever want to cash out your Host, you have to first sell it, swap it as Ethereum, and then you sell your Ethereum for cash. So there's a lot of tokens on the Ethereum network. You know, that exists. Mm-hmm. Ethereum's amazing. I love Ethereum. It's like, I feel like eventually it is going to overtake Bitcoin in market cap. Like, it's just, it sent crypto to new heights. Right. Bitcoin is like the grandfather, and I love Bitcoin. I respect it, and I feel like it should always be respected. But like, Ethereum took this whole space to a whole nother level with what they've done.
Yeah. And I know they're doing an upgrade, right? Ethereum 2.0.
Yeah. Ethereum 2.0 right now is underway. We'll see. I've heard it might get released in summer. Some people say mm-hmm. it's probably going to take longer, but right now people have the option to stake their Ethereum in like Coinbase, for example. So staking means you like lock it into, I don't know, for people that have saved with a bank account, and like if you've had a CD savings account, that mm-hmm. means you lock your money in there for a certain amount of time, and it stays there. And because you're locking in your money in a savings account, like a CD, you earn a little more interest. But in the crypto world, staking is sort of like the same concept. Depending on the crypto, staking differentiates. For like Hosh, it auto stakes, so you're already getting passive income, and there's no like lockup period. I can take on my Hosh tomorrow if I want. I don't have to hold it for 6 months or a year. For a CD, you do have to in a bank though. Mm-hmm. But for Ethereum right now, people have the option to stake their Ethereum in Coinbase and earn passive rewards. But your Ethereum has to stay staked though for this one until the 2.0 upgrade is completed. Mm-hmm. So once the 2.0 upgrade is completed, you'll get all your Ethereum back out plus the rewards. I staked the Ethereum there because I'm not trying to sell it anyway. So I'm like, I'm just going to have it there. So I have to stake there. It's not mine, my mom's, bro. It's my mom's Ethereum. My mom gave me money to buy her crypto. So I have all my mom's crypto in Coinbase. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. One of the last questions I wanted to ask before we start getting close to wrapping this up. What do you think is the impact? Because I know from what I've seen with the information that you've been sharing is that you're really trying to educate, you know, first and foremost, the community, you know, because that's a lot of us don't know what's going on. And, you know, for the most part, I'm not saying there isn't with other individuals, but there's not a lot of generational wealth built yet. Right. So I think a lot of us want a form of that moving forward to, you know, whoever, if we have offspring or whatever it is, you want to be able to leave something behind, you know, and we're not in those positions all the times to have that, you know, as handed to us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, in our community, for those of you listening, you know, we're in Southeast Los Angeles. So in our community, it is all work, pretty much predominantly working class people. And we have a big presence of recent immigrants. And we also have a strong first generation presence here, right? That's our demographic, is working class, immigrant, first gen. And I think the way we see money too often, because of our circumstances, because of where we are and where we come from, we see kind of money in a way that like these are my dollar bills. They are really safe with a bank. And when I take them out of a bank, what I can do with my dollar bills is I can buy things. And I feel like that's where it ends. Like, we don't see our money as a tool that can make us more money. So in my community here, right, in Sela, I see people work hard all the time, bro. Like people are not poor because they don't work hard. Like, people work hard. But in this country, you can work to death and still be poor. That's the sad thing. But what if we change the way we see our money, and we change the way we see our psychology is like, work hard, right? Everybody's like, work hard. Yes. Yeah. But what if we change that to also work smart? And I like to think of working smart as, like, every time we get more of these dollar bills, let's use these as a tool to make us more money passively. So make your money work for you. And that's something that's missing in our community, is that we don't talk enough about investing, and we don't trust it, bro. A lot of people in our community don't trust investing, don't trust it at all. And I say that because my mom is somebody, for years I had to convince her to start investing. And she finally let me start investing some of her money, because a lot of our families come from, you know, like, real serious poverty, like in different countries. So they have a scarcity mentality where they have to have their dollar bills with them. Like, if they're not touching them or holding them, or they're not in a big bank, they feel like they're already about to lose them. But what they fail to realize is that the more we latch onto our money, the more we lose to inflation, right? Like, in the 90s, I was able to buy 4 bags of Hot Cheetos for a dollar. Now you can barely get one of those same bags for, like, what, 79 cents? Yeah. So inflation, right? Inflation has been devaluing our dollar. So we're always trying to latch onto our dollar, or have dollars in my wallet, have dollars under my bed. Your dollars in your bed or in your bank are losing value every year. So it's important for us to put our dollars into different spaces where they can beat inflation and they can appreciate. And I feel like that's education that we don't have widespread in our community yet.
Dude, yeah. No, and I completely agree with that. Yeah, and there's still a lot of like negative stuff attached to letting go of that money, you know? I mean, that you're not even really letting it go. You're just putting it to the side, you know, out of sight, out of mind type of situation. And like bringing it back to the whole bank, like I've noticed, like I had some money saved in my bank account and I used some of that money there to invest. And I saw that I started making more money off of what I was, you know, and again, you got to make sure that you're jumping into this without throwing everything into the investing crypto world, you know? But I started seeing like, okay, I'm actually making a little bit more money just by holding it there than I've been doing in the bank for like 2-3 years, you know?
Yeah, dude. It's
a small amount.
Yeah. And what we're taught from our parents is, I mean, what I was taught was like save. My mom and dad were always like, tienes que ahorrar, you have to save, you have to save. So they like instilled that in me. But now that I think back, I'm like, damn, if I'm saving, I'm putting all this money in Bank of America. Bank of America's giving me 0.01% for having my money with them, for being their client. Like they're giving me nothing. And if I put it in a Bitcoin, an Ethereum, Cardano, I will like quantify my money so much more, right? You know, like I said, that's why it's good to have your little savings account in case you have an emergency, and then have your money in investments. Because then if something pops off, oh, I need cash now, you have your little cash on the side, and you don't have to dig into your investments and pull out money and, you know, and possibly maybe sell some positions at a loss. So it's important to like think like that, right? Is like, how can we make our money work hard for us? Like we're always working hard. How do we make our money work hard for us while we're showering and eating dinner and going to the gym? Our money's on the side, bro, working, bro.
Yeah.
We ain't even worried about it. And our little dollar bills are like battling out in the market, trying to make more money. Like it's beautiful. Like you're not even like worried about it. And you can be making money on a daily. I do want to also acknowledge though that there are a lot of people in our community that are undocumented. And unfortunately, a lot of these folks don't have access to like the stock market because all brokerages do ask for social security numbers. So I do want to acknowledge that is like something that is kind of hard for them to access. But for crypto, there's probably some loopholes though. Like not every single app still ask for social security numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So not financial advisor, but explore, like, right?
I mean, yeah, for real. I mean, again, the resources are there, and the people who know about these are taking advantage, like these big corporations. So they're using these loopholes. Like, why? Dude. Let's find them. Let's find out what those are and use it to help like each other, you know?
Dude, yeah, bro. Once you start diving into the rabbit hole of like the way banks use us and use our money, like, man, it's infuriating. Yeah. Like
for real.
My mom, bro, was saving for like 30 years. She showed me her paperwork and I'm like, mom, you've only been earning like 0.01% interest for 30 years. Like, I'm like, please let me invest this little money. And she said, okay, mijo, I'm going to let you. And I bought her Ethereum, Bitcoin, and I think I bought her like Mana and Cardano. And within that first 2 weeks, my mom made more money in crypto in 2 weeks than she had made in decades, bro. Decades of saving at a bank. It's sad. It's sad. Yeah. And like most people, we just trust them. And crypto's about going past this authority figure that's the bank, and it's all about decentralization, right? So decentralization is like not having to ask a bank for permission. If I want to send XLM or XRP or Bitcoin to my tía in Tijuana, I can go on my phone right now. My tía can turn on her phone, and I can send her money in case of emergency or whatever, like that, dude. With no fees from Western Union, no fees or bullshit from banks, and across borders, that money can be over there. My tia doesn't have to worry about driving to a bank and possibly getting jacked outside of it. My tia doesn't have to spend time and resources to get somewhere. She can get it like that. All she needs is a phone and internet. And that's the beautiful thing about crypto, man. Like, it's like how, like, it just goes across border. It's just, it's the internet. It's the internet, dude.
You know, it's funny because the high school punk in me is like, hell yeah, this is like a big fuck you to the system, you know? Yeah. And it makes me feel good because, again, it's that you're removing that whole system out of it because you're finding out that there's a better way to handle how we move money across the globe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that is huge. You know, I used to work at a Western Union a long time ago, and I used to see people paying $20, $30 just to send a big-ass amount of money. And it's like, whoa, like, it's and then they still charge the people over there to make the exchange and the fees, you know. It's like,
what are those are called remittance fees, right?
Remittance, yep, exactly.
So that's actually, I'm gonna go over that a little bit in the course too. Is like, I'm gonna talk about that because there's countries in Africa, bro, that are using crypto because of inflation and people around the world that don't have access to banks. They're using crypto too. There's like a little town in Salvador by the beach where like almost all they'll use is Bitcoin and they use like other cryptos. Yeah. Venezuela has been hit with like hyperinflation where if you want to like buy a coffee, you literally have to go with bags and bags of the paper dollar bill, dude.
Yeah.
Because of hyperinflation. So people in Venezuela are using like crypto like Dash and like other cryptos to make transactions. It's crazy. Yeah.
Dude, this is and the whole thing is, again, it's still in its infancy. Like it's still trying to find its footing. It's learning how to walk, like crawl right now. And it's gonna, once it starts walking, like damn.
Yeah, man. So all of the right, these people are struggling around the world that are struggling with hyperinflation. The their fiat currency is destroyed, right? Like fiat currency, which is government backed. Money, government issued money. The governments can ban your money. The governments can freeze your money. The governments can do whatever with that money. They can ramp up the budget and destroy it, right? And these people are very like. While I feel like that's my privilege. Is like while I'm talking about Bitcoin to invest. These people around the world that don't have access to banks or are living under governments that are just destroying their own currency. They're using it to survive. It's crazy. Yeah, dude. Crazy.
Man, Eric, I love this whole conversation. And I really do hope that the people are more inclined to learning more about it. And I know you have limited spots at this point for your course.
Yeah, it's pretty limited, man. I didn't think this many people would register. The cap off was like 100. And right now we're at 98. From what I haven't checked in the last hour, but we'll see, man. So there's like, and then there's still some people that are kind of backed out. So there's probably like 4 spaces left. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
Damn. Okay. I mean, it's good though. It's good, you know, because it shows that people want to learn and all that good stuff, you know.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for it, man. It's going to be great. It's going to be a very educational experience for a lot of the folks because they're all pretty much like people that just started or have never had a crypto.
Yeah, no, it's great to know that the interest is there. And hopefully, go for it.
I'll be back in, give me a 30 seconds.
Yeah, go for it. So, I mean, while we wait here for Eric, hope you guys check out some of his information on Instagram. Follow him if you guys want more information. Or if you kind of just want to know what's going on with him. He also hosts Olivia Open Mic. I believe it's every month. So check those sessions out when you get the chance on YouTube. And of course, always make sure to help subscribe, support, and do all that good stuff. And if you can, go ahead and leave a review. Subscribe to the Social Primate Podcast. Do your thing. And that's it. That's it for my free advertisement. Now we just wait.
All right, man.
Cool. Sorry. Yeah, man. No, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, but I was just letting people know that if they want to follow you on Instagram, they can check out the Olivia Open Mic. You know, I think you have that every month as well, right?
Yeah, we've been trying to do it every month through YouTube. Knifler Productions has been producing these live Alivio events. So they're fully streamed live on YouTube. You can see all our mistakes, all our all our nerves. So it's really cool. It's absolutely live. And you can check that out on Knifler YouTube channel.
Yeah. Nice. Well, again, thank you, man, for making the time to do this. I mean, I hope that the course takes off really good and everybody walks out with a bunch of Hogecoin. Just saying. But it's gonna be good. And from the community, myself, thank you for doing what you're doing, dude.
No, thank you, Eddie. Thank you for having me on. Like, these podcasts and exposure is gonna definitely help inspire other people to, start dabbling, start getting some skin in the game. So hopefully some listeners start, downloading some apps and, buying a little bit of crypto.
Sounds good, man. Well, again, thank you. And then hopefully it's not the last time we have a communication again. And I'll tune into the next Alivio open mic.
All right, cool. Take care, man. Peace out.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Thanks.
See you.